give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. Here I am, here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. All my heart into see. Your desires revealed in me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Myself away so you can use me. Save my heart, take my life as a living sacrifice. All my dreams, all my
I give myself to you. Amen. 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 Won't you pray? Pray with me and for me as we pray with one another. Great God, our Savior, our Redeemer, Lord Jesus, our soon coming King, we thank you, Lord, for who you are, that you are God all by yourself. There's none but you, none like you, none compares with you, Lord, and we praise you because of who you are and what you've done by way of salvation, a great price that you paid, Lord Jesus, for us on the cross, Lord, and indeed you died and rose again, and you're coming back again for all those who are looking forward to your return, and we thank you for that, great God. We praise you, and as we have given our lives to you, those who have, Lord, indeed our lives are not our own. We belong to you. We've been bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus, and we thank you for that, Lord, and we pray that you would help us to understand more and more what that means in terms of whose we are, that we belong to you, that you have loved us with such a great and faithful love, and we honor you because of that, and we pray that because we are loved, we will find our resting place with you in a world that at times seems like it's turned upside down and where there's evil rampant, oh God, and we see it each day, Lord. We know that it's not all bad, even though these things are bad. It's not all bad because you are good and your faithfulness endures. And you're still at work. You're still on the throne. You're still working in the lives of people. You're still calling people out of darkness and into your marvelous light. You're still transforming, changing, renewing, reviving, Lord, rejuvenating people. And I pray that you will revive us even today. And whatever the needs might be of those that I stand before, Lord, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that I can ask or imagine, oh God. And we know that you're still working, great God. You're always working. We pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, and you know where they are in their journey through life, whatever their ailments might be, whatever their needs and desires might be, Lord, whatever the frustrations might be, oh God, you're able to meet them where they are and take them where you'd have them to go. We're thankful that you are our shepherd, and because you're our shepherd, we are not deficient. We have everything we need. Your word tells us that because of Jesus, you've given us everything we need for life and for godliness. So help us to remember what you said in your word and rest in what you said in your word through your great and precious promises, that we may indeed grow up in our faith, in our confidence, in our trust in you, O God, and that we may be about the business of worshiping you as we have come today to do, and serving you, O God, out in the world, not just within these walls, O Lord, but out amongst people. We do thank you, Lord. We do love you. We do give you the praise. Guide my mind and my tongue, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Good morning and almost good afternoon. It's a great day to be with the house of the Lord on today, on our each one, reach one, teach one day. Teach one. I've added that to there, saw that, and thought that would be fitting. Each one, reach one, and teach one. We need that in our day. Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Got it? Amen. Amen. 2 Peter 3, I'd like to begin reading at verse 3, and then we'll walk through a couple of verses for today and see where we are at the end of our journey. 2 Peter 3, verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers or mockers, depending on the version that you have, mockers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is the coming he promised, or where is the promise of his coming? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they, meaning the scoffers or mockers, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved by fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Amen. Amen. Each one, reach one, teach one. Our message, our focus, is this: that God wants to use you, he wants to use us, and the you or the us are all of those who have put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. God's message for people who don't know Jesus is that they come to know him as Lord and Savior. That's the one and primary message that he has for people who have not come to faith in him. But for those who have believed that Jesus Christ died and rose on the third day and that he's coming back, his message for us out of this text for today is that he wants to use us to reach one person, so that he can save them and build their lives through Jesus Christ. You know, that's the theme or the mantra of this, really, of my life and of this church. I put it out there that God is about the business of building lives. He builds lives through people accepting Christ, and then he takes us from where we were before we knew him and sets us on a journey of growing up, of maturing in him, of becoming all that he created us to become. That's what God is doing. That's the ultimate goal of life, for us to become a people who know him and who worship him and who serve him. And that's what he is about. He's about the business of doing. Facebook, as you know, was created by Mark Zuckerberg. And you also, I thought there's probably not too many people in here who haven't been on Facebook, or who don't have a Facebook account. Maybe some may not, but the majority of people, even seniors, I find, get on Facebook more than I do. I have a Facebook account, but I probably check it once every 2 months. I go on there. I'm sorry, I'm just not in with it like everybody else is. But most people are on Facebook. It's a social media tool that was created to give people a platform on which they could exchange information. Originally, though, the information exchange was about coursework at Harvard University, which is where Zuckerberg was a student. But the billion-dollar social media has blossomed today into a digital social network through which it connects people all across the world with one another on every topic from A to Z that you can name. But his book, did you know God had a his book? He does. His book. His book. His book, which was created by God. It informs us that our journey on this earth is about connecting to God, connecting with people, and people connecting with people. God created people for himself to worship him, to know him, and to serve him, and to love him, to be in relationship with him. That's ultimately why we are here on this earth, is to know him, to love him, to serve him, and to love people, the second greatest commandment. God also created people to be in relationship with one another. Life is not just about Jesus and us. Life is not just about you and me and our needs and desires and what's going on in our little world. Life is about Jesus first. Everything was created by him and for him. And our relationship is with him first and foremost. But secondarily, life is about our relationship with others, with one another, with everybody in this room and others in your circle of influence. Research shows that fewer non-believers are attending church today or church-sponsored activities today. But it's also true that fewer people who claim to know Jesus are worshiping together today. A lot of people just don't connect with the church. A lot of people don't see the need to be involved with the church. A lot of people say they're Christians, but they don't get with the people of God. That's not what God says. It's not what God says. In spite of what people say, God says it's necessary that we get together. It's his church, and I'm saying this on the side, it's his church, and he designed us to get together. That's what Hebrews 10 is all. Don't forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, which is the habit of some. But it goes on to say, get together all the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? The day when Jesus is coming back. He's going to come back. And he said, as we see, as we sense, as we get a sense that life is coming to a close and all this stuff is happening, he says we should have a greater sense to connect with one another, to come together with one another, because that day is going to come. But why does he want us to do that? So we can encourage one another, so we can build each other up, so we can strengthen each other up, so that we can stir each other to love and good deeds. That's what Hebrews 10 says. There's a purpose in us coming together to connect with each other. I get encouraged when I come and I'm around most people. We have to be honest, don't we? There's some people you might walk away from and you might say, no, I wasn't too encouraged being around. I hope you're not, and I hope I'm not one of those people. I like when I'm around people, I want people to be encouraged, not discouraged, when they come around me. And who I am is, I want it to be that Christ is coming out of me and Christ coming out of you, and people are encouraged in coming into your presence and being into your presence. I often tell the kids and the staff at school that attitude is a choice. I'm throwing this in. Attitude is a choice. It really is. Your attitude, my attitude is a choice. And the Bible anyway tells us this, to think about things that are good and true and pure and right and just, things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You know, what we take in and what we think about, that affects our attitude. And it doesn't mean you don't get down and out in life, and it doesn't mean that sometimes you don't get discouraged and you just get weighed down by the problems of life. That happens in the believers' lives too, doesn't it? It happens in mine. I know it has to happen in yours too. That's part and parcel to life. But we ought to be a people, because of Jesus, because he's connected us with him, we ought to be an encouraged people. a people who believe what the word of God says, trust in what he says. All of that is to the side. Forgive me for my sidebar. But today I want each of us, as we talk about each one, reaching one and then teaching one. That's what all those boards are on the back about our ministries and whatnot here and what we want this church is to be about. Today I want each of us who claims to have a personal relationship with Jesus to think about making a commitment to reaching one person for Jesus. And I say this every year at this time, and I'm going to say it like this year. I want us to make a commitment. Think about making a commitment, because I can't force you. This is something you're going to have to do. It's between you and God, really, if you say you're a follower of Christ. Today, I want each of us who claims to have a personal relationship with Jesus to think about making a commitment to put a stake in the ground to reaching one person for Jesus every year until the Lord calls us home to be with him. Think about it, if you will go on this journey with me. As we think about this text and what Peter is saying here about living in the last days and about judgment coming and about God not wanting anybody to perish, but he wants them to repent. Can we think about maybe getting on board and making a commitment to reaching one person each year, every year? I didn't say every month. I didn't say you may talk to people every month. You may talk to somebody every week, but we're talking about reaching somebody with the good news of Jesus Christ and by prayer and sharing the good news, seeing them come into a relationship with Christ. Doing that until the Lord has taken us home to be with him. Jesus has given us the opportunity to be co-laborers with him in this mission. You know, there's a lot of stuff the church can get involved in, a lot of activities that can go on, a lot of things that we can do, and there's nothing wrong with them in and of itself. But I'll say this, if we miss this, we miss the crux of the mission that God has called us to. Jesus came to die, not just so that we can have all of our church activities and do all of our church functions. No, Jesus came to die because there are people destined for an eternity separated from him. And he doesn't want that. No, let's not relegate or diminish the death of Jesus to that, to just all the things that we do. And we miss this. We don't want to miss this. Jesus has given us the opportunity to be co-laborers with him in this mission, which is the greatest goal that we can have in life. And that's the mission of reaching people for Jesus Christ and seeing him build up their lives. Each one, reaching one, and teaching one. Someone said only one life will soon be passed. Only what you do for Christ will last. I wondered, as I thought about that again, and maybe you'll wonder with me, is what I'm doing going to last? Am I doing anything for Christ that will last into eternity? Well, we know a lot of, but the things of this world are going to pass away, the material things. What is going to last? People. People are going to last. People are going into eternity. Everybody is. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Everybody is going to live forever. Everybody. The question is, where and with whom? with Christ or separated from him in eternal punishment. Jesus, I'm taking longer in my introduction than I thought, but maybe it's necessary, huh? Jesus never told us to build fine buildings, as useful as they are. He never told us to do that. He never told us to build fine buildings for him. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. We thank the Lord. We appreciate the edifice that we have. But that's not the command that he gave us. He never told us to make a lot of money. Nothing wrong with making money. I'm with George Bailey, and it's a wonderful life. Money sure comes in handy down here. It sure does, but that's not the bottom line to life. But that's the pursuit of many people. Jesus never told us to make a lot of money or acquire degrees. Nothing wrong with that. I have some. There's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But if that's the sum of who I am, and if my life is built on that and based on that, I'm missing his mission as I am in pursuit of those things. Am I seeking to help people come to know Christ? He never told us to accumulate many possessions for him. Never told us that. Nothing wrong with these, but none of them will last. They are tools in the hands of the children of God to serve him and his purposes on this earth. That's what they are. Everything you have, everything I have, they're tools. God has given us all things richly to enjoy, yes, but they're merely tools. See, the question is, do we have at the core of our existence the heart, the desire, the understanding that God has called us to worship him and to make disciples, to reach one, to teach one, to build up people in Christ? Do we have that? And are we about that? That's what we have to ask ourselves. His ultimate purpose for us on this earth is to worship him and serve him in all of our doings. And out of that worship, that service, we're reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that makes sense a little bit. Well, that's our objective. Our objective, our focus is that maybe a few more people will get on board and think about reaching one and teaching one so that they will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. You know, when you're talking about reaching, you're talking about stretching out. And even in our mission statement, we talk about that. Our goals for this church, reaching up to God and worshiping him, reaching out and reaching around. It's all about reaching. And really, that's for me, but that's for all of us. Reaching is talking about getting beyond yourselves, getting beyond ourselves, stretching out, extending yourself, reaching out to touch somebody other than you and other than me. Other than me. Well, with all of that said and done, let me say a few things before I have to move on. And the Lord willing, if Jesus doesn't come back before next week, we'll come back next week. But what are the reasons that we should be intentional? And I use the word intentional very intentionally. Because you're never going to reach beyond yourself. You're never going to get on board if you are not intentional. If you don't think about it, if you don't say, okay, I'm listening to what the Lord has to say, you don't put it out there, you're never going to do it. Strangely, though, we do that in our world over here. We're intentional about a lot of things, aren't we? I bet many people in here are intentional about going to work. Yeah, you don't get, well, maybe I'll go to work today. Maybe I won't. You might say that one or two times over the year and take a sick day here or there, but you're not doing that on a consistent basis. Not and keeping your job. You're not doing that. No, we're intentional about going to work because we want to make some money, because we want to pay some bills, and we have some other things that we want to do, so we're intentional about that. We have it in our minds. We have some goals to accomplish, so we got to get up and we have to go. Well, I think we should be the same way in service to God. We should be intentional. It should not be something that we're doing on the side. It's part and parcel to our being. It's a part of our lives. It pervades. It's pervasive. It's a part of our being. It's not a set aside. No, we've been called into service. Called into service. Why should we be intentional about reaching one person? One person for Jesus. Well, each one, point one, and we'll deal with this today, each one should be intentional about reaching one and teaching one about Jesus, because we are living in the last days. We are living in the last days. Why do we say that? Because the Bible says that. The Bible says, first of all, Peter's writing to the people of God. And he said, first of all, in verse 3, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. The last days are the days, and we can't do an exhaustive on this. I know I probably should, and maybe someday the Lord doesn't come back. We will. We probably have to. But the last days are the days prior to the return of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming back one day. He came the first time. He's going to come the second time. He's coming back again. It is that time period after the death and resurrection of Jesus and his ascension into heaven. The Bible tells us, you read the Gospels, you read the letters. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ came. He came as God the Son, very God and very man, not half man and half God. He came as man and God. And you know, if that's true about him, then what he has to say and what the Bible is saying, that's more important than anything that you're doing or anything that I'm doing. Now, what you're doing may be important, but if you do it and you leave Jesus out, then, again, we've missed it. But the Bible tells us that Jesus died and he rose and he is coming back again. But in between time, and we're in that in between time, until his second coming. And his second coming, the Bible tells us that he's going to judge the world and he's going to make all things brand new. It's going to make all things brand new. Now, there are a couple of verses that talk about, you know, some things that will happen or that are going to be happening in between, and we'll read them and not go to talk about them in depth, but I'd like to read them at least. Matthew is one, Matthew 24, verse 1, where it says, Jesus left the temple and was walking away with his disciples, And he came up, and when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. They were just like us. Look at all these great buildings. Look at it. Look at all these great buildings. Do you see all these things? Jesus asked. He says, I tell you the truth. Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. What was he saying? Temporary. It's temporary. Don't get so excited about these buildings. Don't get so excited about all the stuff you see. Or don't get so excited about your beautiful house. No, because one day, guess what? It's gone. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? What's going to be happening before you come back? And Jesus answered, he said, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Are we hearing that? We're hearing it, and we've been hearing it, haven't we? This is not new. So what does that say? That say that the last days have been since Jesus went back to heaven. Wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Do we see some of that? Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. We don't want to read, we want to cut that out, don't we? At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So the gospel has to be preached. The gospel is going out. What's imperative is that the gospel goes out. But in between, we're going to have these things happening, our Lord himself said. We're living in the last days. One more verse and then we'll run on. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. Second Timothy. Paul's writing Timothy so that Timothy could pass this on to the church. And he says this, but mark this. But mark this, make note of this, make it plain. There will be terrible times in what? The last days. How many of you think we're living in terrible times? We think there are terrible times, there are terrible things going on in the world. But I always have to caution myself, and I'll caution us to think that the terrible times that we live in the midst of the terrible times that we live in, we have to remember that God is still in control. God is still in control. Our Lord is not unaware of what's going on. And all of it is leading to his appointed end. There will be terrible times in the last days. And listen to what it says and see if this kind of resonates with what's happening in our culture even today. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive. Listen to this one. Disobedient to their parents. Now, if they want, how did that get thrown in there? Well, I think it's ramped up a little bit nowadays, is it? Disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. Just gone hog wild. Brutal. Brutal. Man, you talk about Facebook, you go on Facebook, shoot. Man, people will rape people across the coal on, really put people down. Brutal. Not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And don't leave out five, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Oh, I love the Lord. He heard my cry on Sunday. But the rest of the week, ain't no power. There's no power of the resurrected Christ in your life. There's no transformation of life. That's the power that he's talking about. There's no radical change that has taken place. Because you trusted, you say, I've trusted Christ, and there's no change, denying the power of the resurrection in our lives. That's what he's talking about. He says this is what's going to happen in the last days. And then he says, have nothing, nothing to do with them. Nothing to do with them. Listen, each one should be intentional about reaching one and teaching one about Jesus because we are living in the last days and it's time to stop playing church. It's time to stop merely talking about being a follower of Christ and us living like we really are and thinking like we really are. And as God gives us opportunities, helping others and not thinking that just because somebody shows up on Sunday or knows some verses that they know Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's not necessarily true. Peter said, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. Scoffers will come. Mockers or scoffers, he says, they will come scoffing, mocking, and following their own evil desires. What was he talking about? Well, mockers are people who tease, one, who tease and poke fun. They laugh at, they put down in a joking but mean-spirited manner. They put people down. You ever have anybody mock you? And let me ask the flip side of that. Have you ever mocked anybody like that? I hope not, especially in your days after you came to Christ. But unfortunately, we've seen some people who say they know Jesus and they mock their mockers. They talk about people just as bad as people who don't know Christ. No, Peter said in the last days, listen, I want you to be aware of something. Mockers are going to come. And I say, but don't be one of them. You know, Jesus was mocked. Jesus, our Lord, was mocked when he was on the earth. Sometimes, and the Lord has to bring me back to this, you know, you start feeling, you feel sorry for yourself and you start getting down and out because people talking about you and they dogging you out. and they saying things about you, and they joking, and they mean towards you. Well, listen, our Lord went through that. And we enter the kingdom, the scripture says, through tribulations, through struggles. If Jesus went through it, don't be surprised that you have to go through it too, or that I have to go through it as well. Jesus was mocked. Where do I get that from? Off the top of my head? No, from Matthew 27. In Matthew 27, it says, then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. So get the picture. Here is our Lord on his way to the cross. So you have all these soldiers. They gather and they put Jesus in the middle. So they stripped him, the Bible tells us. And they put a scarlet robe on him. And they twisted together a crown of thorns. You ever been stuck by a rose bush? Think about a thorn of rose bushes, a crown of rose bushes being pressed on your head. They twisted a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Oh, you're the king of the Jews, right? They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and they mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews. Hail, King of the Jews. Hail, King of the Jews. They said over and over and over again. That's not me. That's what the Bible says. And that's what they were doing. They didn't believe he was King of the Jews. They were mocking him. They were talking about him. They were making fun of him. They were poking fun of him. They were teasing him. Hail, King of the Jews. And then listen to this. In verse 30, they spit on him. I've never had anybody spit on me, but I have had somebody tell me that they would spit on me. That actually happened to me this year. And boy, you talk about it. And I stood there. And I'm glad she didn't. I was going to say, because I don't know what I would have done. By the grace of God, I would have walked away from that thing. But they spit on him. And they took a staff. And they struck him on his head again and again. And after they had mocked him, they took off his robe and put his own clothes on him. They led him away to crucify him. That's what mockers do. Mockers make fun. They don't believe who you are, and they don't care about that. They don't care. They didn't care that he said he was, that people were saying he was King of the Jews. They were mocking him. They were mocking him. That's what he's talking about here. Mockers in the last day. He says, mockers will come with their mocking, with their scoffing. And he said, and following their own evil desires. Following their own evil desires. They engaged in activities that were morally wrong. Morally wrong. They run after their own evil desires. They live to fulfill their lust. We don't have anybody in here like this, do we? But if we do, let me tell you something. You can get out of that. And if you are a child of God and this is where you are, that's not the place where you should be. Mockers follow after their own lust. They live to fulfill their lust. Mockers are caught up in self instead of being caught up in Jesus. They exclude God from their lives so that their lifestyle of unrighteousness can be justified. I don't believe in that Jesus thing. Jesus ain't real. God ain't real. I can live like I want to live. There's no accountability. I can live like I want to live. Because if there's no God, as I said, there's no accountability. I can do my own thing. I'm my own God. I'm my own God. Listen, he said, in the last days, mockers will come, mocking and following after their own evil desires. And then in verse 4, quickly here, it says, they will say this. Where is this coming that he promised? Where is this coming that he promised? Mockers question the parousia, and that is simply the return of Jesus. They say, it ain't gonna happen. It hasn't happened. It's not going to happen. Mockers were those who made fun of the promise of Christ's return. They said, Jesus ain't coming back. They were those who derided the promise of Jesus' return. How do we know Jesus is going to return? The Bible said it in Acts chapter 1. It said they were standing there looking at Jesus going into heaven, and the angel said, hey, man, why are you standing here looking up? This same Jesus that you saw go into the heaven, he's coming back the same way. He's coming back. And they said, these mockers say it ain't going to happen. See, mockers are skeptics. They do not believe in the return of Christ. They question truth. If we can speak about it generally, mockers question truth. They question the word of God because they have a self-centered agenda and refuse to walk by faith in the revealed word of God. Mockers are skeptic because they lose sight of the word of God. See, anyone who does not believe in the word of God and Jesus through the witness of his word is a skeptic. The word of God escapes their notice. Mockers are skeptic because all continues just as it was. Did you see what he said? They say, where is the promise of his coming? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. It's just going on. Life is just continuing. It's just continuing. See, and I think the key thing in there that I wanted to point out was this, that mockers deliberately ignore the word of God. Deliberately go around it. Deliberately avoid accepting what it says. That's the point of verse 5. That's the point of verse 5. They deliberately, NIV says forget, but they deliberately ignore the word of God. The word of God. They ignore the fact that, as Peter says in verse 5, but they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world of that time was deluged or flooded and destroyed. You know the story if you're a reader of Scripture. God created the heavens. The earth was, a big ball of water, and the earth came forth from out of that water. How did that happen? The Bible says God spoke it, and it came into being. And mockers ignore the fact that it's God's word, it's by his word. That's the point that he's making. By his word. By his word, the earth came forth. By God's word, God said it's going to rain. People didn't believe it then. They didn't believe it when Noah said it, did they? Noah preached for 120 years. And all he did was preach what God told him to preach. God said, tell the people one message, Noah. This one statement, Noah. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. People didn't believe him. Why? They had never seen rain. It had never rained on the earth. What you talking about, Noah? People didn't believe him. People didn't believe it because they had never seen it. They had never seen it. They ignored what God says, and people are still doing it today. Simply ignoring what God has to say. Mockers today scoff at the gospel. They scoff at the truth. They circumvent the truth. They turn away from the word of God. They go around it. They don't look into it for truth. Mockers are people who say, yeah, right. I'll believe that Jesus is coming back when I see it. They don't believe in the return of Jesus Christ. Peter said to the church then, my brothers and sisters, and the Bible certainly speaks to us today. We're living in the last days. And mockers are on the scene even today, who scoff at the word of God and do not listen to what God has clearly said and told us in his word. But we need to be a people who are intent and intentional about listening to what God has to say in his word and living by what God says in his word and communicating truth to that one that we're seeking to reach as revealed in the word of God. That's what God wants from us. I think that's the warning that comes from us and for us, and the one I want to leave out there to you is that, listen, read your Bible. Study your Bible. I don't want to lay a guilt trip on anybody. I was looking, reading something, and I was curious about, you know, what the researchers say about people reading the Bible. And I wondered if we took a poll here, if I did a survey in the Agape Bible Fellowship Church about people reading their word, as opposed to simply the only time that we open up the Bible, and maybe even not then, when we come to church. But see, you can't, each one can't reach one and teach one if you don't know what to teach, if you don't know what to share, if you don't open up the word. And all I'm doing, brothers and sisters, is I'm saying we don't want to be in this camp of mockers who ignore the word of God. Don't ignore God's word. You have to get into his word so that his word can get into you. God uses his word to transform us. The Spirit of God works through the word of God to transform the people of God. Listen, each one should reach one so that we can teach one that we are living in the last days. And why is that important? I'll give this point and then we'll pick it up next week. Each one should be intentional about reaching one and teaching one because judgment day is coming. Judgment day is coming. I don't think we hear that much about judgment day coming, do we? Well, it is. And that's what Peter said. And how do we know it? The word of God. We don't have anything else. Listen, we don't go to the newspaper to find out what's next on God's agenda. We don't do that. We go to the newspaper to find out what's going on in our culture. We don't listen to the latest philosophies of this age to find out what's next on God's agenda. We don't do that. We don't do that. We don't listen to motivational speakers to find out what thus says the Lord. No, we go to the word of God to find out what God said. And what God said in verse 7 is that by the same word, what word? God speaking. By the same word that he used to create, The same word that he used to destroy the earth with water, Peter says, by the same word, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Listen, let me say this and I'm finished. I'm going to give it to you one more time. Each one should be intentional about reaching one and teaching one, because judgment day is coming. It's coming. And we'll work that out a little bit more next week. Won't you bow with me? Lord God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would search our hearts. You know our thoughts. You know our doubtful thoughts. Lord, you know whether we believe your word or not. You know whether we truly trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives or not. Lord, you know whether we believe that Jesus is going to return. As the Bible says, you know, Lord, whether we truly believe that or not. So, Lord, I ask that you would search us and see if there be any doubtful ways in us. Lord, maybe we haven't read or meditated on your word enough to have these things penetrate our thinking and permeate our hearts. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be a people who get into your word. Help us not to be like mockers if we've said that we trusted Jesus. Help us not to ignore your word. Help us to open it, not just on Sunday. Help us to do so through the week, oh God, to take that time to be with you and to listen to you. For your word says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word about Christ. I pray that we would hear that word about Jesus, that he is Lord, that he is Savior, that he came and he died, that he rose, and that you loved the world so much that you sent him so that he could die, so that he might live, and so that we might live. Lord, I pray that we would hear that word today. But also, Lord, that we would hear the word that judgment day is coming, that it is coming. But that we would rest in peace, knowing that Jesus is our Lord. And Lord, if there's someone who has never truly trusted Jesus, never been intentional about giving their lives to him, may today be the day of salvation. And if you've never trusted Jesus, you can simply say, Lord, I know I am a sinner, and I know I need a Savior. I know I've rejected you. I've ignored you. I've ignored your word. But I repent of that, and I give my life to you. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There might be someone here today who prayed that prayer, who maybe for the first time accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. If you're here today and you repent and you want to accept Christ, and you have accepted Christ and you want to make that decision public, you can come forth today. You can say, I give my life to Christ. I'm one that God has reached, and I give myself to him. Anyone here today, man, woman, boy, or girl, you may have been going to church for a long time, but maybe you've never truly trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. You can come. You can come. Anyone here today? You can come.
Oh, my sisters, he will give you brand new life, more life abundantly. Oh, come. Come on to
Amen. Amen. Church, you can come. You can come. Every first Sunday we come and we take part together as the people of God in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is for the people of God, those who have given their life to Christ, who trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. And we do it as he has commanded us. We do it in remembrance of him, out of obedience to him. There's two ordinances in the church: baptism and the Lord's Supper. And as we come, we want to think about all the mockings that he went through and the beatings that he went through. But we want to think mostly about what happened on that cross, that on that cross he took on the punishment from the Father for our sins. I'm going to ask Deacon Wiley if he'll read our scripture and ask Reverend Henry if he will say a prayer, a blessing for our time today.
For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in doing so, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep."
Amen.
Eternal God, our Father, we bow before the throne of grace once again. We thank you, Father God, for your goodness and your mercy. And Father God, we thank you for what you've done for us. You gave your life that we may have newness of life. And we want to be intentional about serving you. We want to be intentional about believing in you. And we want to be intentional about trusting you, Father God. And Father God, everything that we do, we want to do it unto the glory of you. Because you have been so good and merciful to us. And Father God, on this day, we thank you for everything that you've done. And we praise you forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So you clean me up in forget to acknowledge Malik graduating.
Amen, amen. Jesus indeed died for our freedom, freedom from sin, freedom from eternal punishment. The Bible tells us that Jesus was gathered with his disciples, and he took bread, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Let us eat together in remembrance of me, of him." After they had eaten, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is being shed for you. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." Let us drink together in remembrance of him. Scripture says that afterwards they sung a hymn and they were dismissed. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for your death for us.
Yes.
Thank you for the blood that you shed. Thank you for the death you died. But we're thankful that you rose on the third day and that you are coming back just like you promised. Lord, help us to lean on